All right, behind the scenes around the offices of Wisconsin Public Radio, it's hard to find anyone with more books going at once than the executive producer of To the Best of Our Knowledge.
Steve Paulson joins us now in studio to share some of the most interesting new books that have crossed his desk lately. Steve, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Well, we met earlier in my office about this because your office was so overflowing with books there was nowhere to sit.
It's a little embarrassing, I have to say.
Embarrassment of riches. But that's exactly why you're here, because you see so many books and you read so many books per day. And you picked out a few of them to tell us, give us some recommendations. What
okay.
have you got?
Well, I'm going to start with a novel, which is really terrific. It's by Karen Joy Fowler called We Are All Completely Beside Ourselves. And it's a story of, I guess you would describe it as a chimpanzee is raised as part of a human family and the fallout that ensues. And just to put this in perspective, one thing that's really interesting is there's this flurry of novels that are coming out with chimps as characters. And it's like it's sort of this thing in the zeitgeist right now, which
is kind of
fascinating.
How does she handle a chimp as a character?
Well, she does it in a really interesting way. You don't know that a chimp is part of the story until about a third of the way in. So you hit about page 90, and she sets it up as there are these two sisters, twins, basically, raised together, and you only find out much later on that, oh, one of them's a chimpanzee.
Which is a spoiler alert, and we talked about this, but it is in the beginning third of the book, and you can't really talk about the book without it sounds like.
No, you can't. And this is actually based on a real-life example. Back in the 1930s, there was a scientist at Indiana University who wanted to see what would happen if you raised a chimpanzee as a human child. And actually, he did it in such a way that he brought in a chimp and raised it with his own son, and they were the same age, and they were growing up together, and all kinds of chaos ensued. And so Karen Joy Fowler has taken the same premise, basically, updated a little bit. It's set in the 1970s, and so it's wonderful because there's tragedy that ensues, so it's heartbreaking, but it's a wonderful story. And so the narrator of this is the girl who kind of has grown up, and she's reflecting back on what happened when she was 5 years old when this chimp was suddenly removed. Her sister was removed, and if you'd like, I could read you a very short passage.
Yeah, please.
Okay, so this is Rosemary is reflecting back on what it was like to grow up. She says, I always used to believe I knew what Fern was thinking. No matter how bizarre her behavior, no matter how much she might deck herself out and bob about the house like a Macy's parade balloon, I could be counted on to render it into plain English. Fern wants to go outside. Fern wants to watch Sesame Street. Fern thinks you are a doo-doo head. Some of this was convenient projection, but you'll never convince me of the rest. Why wouldn't I have understood her? No one knew Fern better than I. I knew every twitch. I was attuned to her.
Oh, that sounds really intriguing.
It's very intriguing. And part of the premise of this is it has to do with the way we have studied primates, the way scientists have studied primates. So, you know, there's always this question of how smart are primates? Our chimps are our closest relatives in the animal world. And so we try to get them to use sign language, basically to sort of take on the trappings of human communication. And so the premise here is, well, what if we tried to understand chimps more on their own terms? And what if a young human child communicated with a chimp basically nonverbally? You know, what happens when they're 3, 4, or 5 years old? That's sort of the premise here. And it's quite fascinating.
So much more interesting because it's based on a true story, too.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, well, thanks for that one. And what do you got next?
Okay, actually, I have another book about animals, but this is nonfiction. It's by a philosopher named Mark Rowlands called Running with the Pack: Thoughts from the Road on Meaning and Mortality. And it's basically a sequel to an earlier book he wrote called The Philosopher and the Wolf. And there's a great story here. So Mark Rowlands is a British philosopher who moved to the U.S. In his 20s and got a job teaching at the University of Alabama. And right around the same time as he started this job, he adopted a young wolf, which you might not think is the smartest thing to do. So he takes the wolf home, and he realizes instantly, in the first 3 minutes, the wolf is in this living room. The wolf destroys the living room. And he realizes he can never leave the wolf alone. He's got to take the wolf, this wolf named Brennan, everywhere. So he takes him to class, takes him to his lectures. He has to, pretty soon, the wolf starts wandering up and down the lecture hall, poking its snout into the backpacks of the students, pulling out lunches. So he has to sort of put up a notice saying, secure your meals in your lunches. He, Mark Rowlands, is on a rugby team, and he takes the wolf, Brennan, to his rugby matches. They go on the road for hundreds of miles. They go out partying in bars afterwards. Brennan goes with them. He takes Brennan, the wolf, on all of his dates. He moves to other countries and takes Brennan. I mean, Brennan is his most important companion in his life.
I'm thinking some... You know, health codes were violated along the way there. But again, this is a true story, though.
This is a true story. So this is all nonfiction. And so he's written the sequel, which is about running. And, you know, Mark Rowlands is a philosopher. So he's citing Aristotle and Spinoza and all of these great philosophers. And he's reflecting on the meaning of running. And at one point he says, well, I like to run with wolves and with dogs rather than people because I want to think. I don't want to talk. He says thought is antithetical to talking. And again, if I can read a short passage from this, he says, running is a place where I remember. Most importantly, it is a place where I remember not the thoughts of others, but something that I once knew a lifetime ago, but was forced to forget in the process of growing up and becoming someone. I knew this, although I did not know that I knew it. And in this, I was just like everyone else. Running is a place for remembering. It is in this place that we find the meaning of running.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And so it's a meditation on running, and he just turns 50 at the time of this, and so it's his body starting to break down. So it's sort of also reflections on mortality and how you construct meaning in your life.
Now, have you interviewed that guy?
I did.
Did he bring the wolf?
The wolf actually has since died.
Oh,
so no.
That must have been devastating. That'll be the next book.
Yeah, no, actually, and it's a heartbreaking story because, I mean, the end of the story of Brennan the Wolf is Wolf dies of cancer. And so the last few months of his life, I mean, Mark Rowlands basically dedicates his own life to taking care of it, sort of trying to give the wolf a good death.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's fascinating. So a couple good books there if you want to read the one that came first. And this one is called Running with the Pack.
Right.
And you've got one more. We're turning back to fiction again. Mm-hmm. And this is one that has gotten a bit of buzz. And you recently interviewed the author. This is How You Lose Her.
This is How You Lose Her by Juno Diaz, who won a Pulitzer Prize for his last book, which is called The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde. And there's a lot of buzz about Juno Diaz. As you've said, he's a dazzling writer, and he has a totally distinctive voice. I mean, he just sounds like no one else. And Juno Diaz's own story is born in the Dominican Republic, moved to New Jersey when he was a kid, grew up there in a Dominican community, and that's very much the setting of his stories in this book. And so the narrator of all of these stories is named Junior, and it's kind of a fictional alter ego of Juno Diaz. And the story basically is there's sort of this tension between do you stay true to your ethnic roots? I mean, do you stay within that community or do you leave? Do you assimilate? And so Juno Diaz himself was this bookish, geekish kid, loved science fiction, was drawn to high culture, but also was very street smart, hung out with the other kids in the neighborhood. And part of the point of this is he's saying that there are traditionally sort of immigrant stories are, you know, either you assimilate or you sort of, you know, stay with the group that you stayed up with. He said, no, you can do both those simultaneously. And it's that tension that he's sort of playing out there. And the way he writes these stories is, you know, he mixes Spanish in with English. So sort of this Spanglish feel to it. It's very racy. I mean, I would read a passage from this, but I'm not sure if I could read one that would work on the radio here.
Oh, that's probably for the best then that we not read that one. So these stories, as I understand it, are they sort of beaded along? One sort of builds upon the other?
They are, yeah. So they're snapshots of different points in the life of this character, Junior. And he loves women, but he messes up every relationship he has with women. He always cheats on them, and he loves them. And so it's sort of this you're revisiting his life sort of every few steps along the way, sort of years later, and he's learned a little something later on, and finally by the end he sort of realizes he's kind of coming to some sense of revelation about himself. And this is, incidentally, this character Junior is a recurring character in some of Juno Diaz's books. So I think it's the third book that he's figured in, and so we will probably see more of him later. So it's sort of like it's probably one of these characters that we will see over the course of a decade or more.
Like
so.
John Updike Rabbit,
kind of thing.
Exactly. It's going to come back again and again.
Yes.
So you brought in three books, but I've seen the amount of books in your office. How do you keep them all in your head? I mean, do you read them all at once?
No, well, these I had the good fortune of actually interviewing all the authors, so that is a good excuse for me to dig into them. And but it's I feel lucky. I mean, I get a chance to read lots of great books. Occasionally, I get to talk to the authors as well, and so it's doesn't get any better than that.
All right. Well, we are so grateful for the recommendations. Thank you for coming in and sharing today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Steve Paulson is the executive producer of To the Best of Our Knowledge here at Wisconsin Public Radio.